I'd like to call this meeting to order of the City Reedley Council meeting of Tuesday, August the 26th. The invocation will be by Pastor Steve Penner tonight, and the pledge will be by Mayor Pro Tem Ray Solano. If you'll stand with me, please. Mr. Penner here?
Mr. Penner?
Yes, Mr. Penner.
Thought I had seen him before as well.
I said I thought I seen him.
I'm sorry, I thought the pledge was first. Shall we pray? Oh God, for our river, parks, and hip hip hooray swimming pool, for downtown farmers markets and modest shopping centers, for industries, farms, and schools, for the experience of the old and the zest of the young, we give you, O God, our thanks. And for all of us here, city leaders and business owners, civil servants and the restless, big dreamers and the resolutely quiet alike, we ask for us all a desire to seek the collective wisdom, the strong ability to listen well and speak with clarity, and the courage to see beyond our own biases, even as we speak our own truths. Give to us as a community the ability to acknowledge and balance as necessary the hard, cold facts with the heart's longing. And in all we do as a community, may we not tire in seeking justice and a fair chance for all. In the name of God Almighty, Creator of all, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Fass?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Councilmember Salino?
Here.
Mayor Beck?
Here. Agenda approval. Is there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Move to approve. Have a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Presentations. Election update presentation by Brandy Orth, Fresno County City Clerk on election updates.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Member. Thank you for having me. I'm Brandy Orth, your County Clerk and Registrar of Voters. And I like to do my little 15-city tour once a year. And so tonight is Reedley night, and I'm happy to be here. I just wanted to give you a little recap from our June election. For the county, we had about a 26% turnout, and Reedley was right at that mark and had a pretty good turnout. What is the trend in the county and is the same in Reedley is that two-thirds of your folks actually vote by mail and one-third of them go to the polling location. And that's kind of been the trend all across. We had six polling locations for you, and we are just setting those polling locations right now. So if the council has any suggestions for me, otherwise we'll probably try to keep them right around the same. I think that worked out good for your constituents. And I just want to give a big thank you to your city clerk, who's pretty awesome, Sylvia. She works very closely with us. We are really working on reaching out to all of the cities and the city clerks. And when we have problems like polling places or other things or candidate filing, that we have a really good relationship. And so we appreciate that. And you're letting her do that with us. And so it's no surprise to you that we're going into the November election. Of course, there's a lot going on in the Reedley area. We have two city council seats, and then we have three seats in the Kings Canyon Unified. We have County Supervisor 4, and besides the usual array of state and federal offices for you. We will have vote-by-mail ballots go out October 6th. 29 days before the election, along with sample ballots, be mailed to everybody's house. And October 20th is the last day to register to vote. And I brought some registration cards for Sylvia to have. And there's a lot of reasons why, well, not only that you should register to vote if you're not already registered, but why you might want to re-register. Election mail is not forwardable, meaning that if you have moved and you haven't re-registered, your ballot will come back to me, and then I have no way to find you. So if you have moved, please re-register. Or if you registered like I did many years ago, and possibly your handwriting has changed over time, please re-register and give me a recent sample. Because, little known fact that we like to share, is that all the signatures on all of the vote-by-mail envelopes are verified against the signature on your voter registration card. And so we're looking for a really good match there. And so we like to have current signatures on file with us. So I think that's my little update for today. I'm happy to answer any questions. And of course, it's always lovely being in Reedley.
Any council questions?
Yeah, I kind of missed something because you went through it pretty awesome. But October 6th, you referred to that date as,
October,
is that sample ballots or?
Both. On October 6th, we'll mail out sample ballots, and any of those folks that are permanent vote-by-mail voters, their ballots will go out on the 6th and arrive at their home that week.
The absentee?
Yes. That's the old term. The new fancy term is vote-by-mail.
And if there's some areas in the city of Reedley that used to have polling places and we don't have them, we just contact the city clerk?
Well, a couple things. One is there's a lot of laws that govern how we establish polling places. And so, you know, when we establish a voting precinct, it's because of a geographical area that everyone votes on the exact same races. And so in the city, I haven't looked at the map for this election, but my guess is that there are different types of ballots in the city of Reedley, because one has a Kings County Unified, you know, district, and another one has a different district, and another one has no Kings Canyon on it. And so once we get how many ballots will be out here, then we establish where the polling locations are. So within the parameters of voting precincts, then we establish these polling locations. And that's where if possibly one didn't work out well for your community, or, you know, please just let Sylvia know and she can let us know. And sometimes polling places aren't always available to us, and so then we would reach out to the city clerk, because she knows where everything is in your city and can help us find a replacement place. So we're doing that right now, so we may be calling yet. In this election, we're going to have 207 different types of ballots countywide.
Wow.
Because of all the configurations of all of the special districts, school districts, it's very complicated. But we'll get you the right one.
Thank you very much.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Okay.
So let me see if I understood that. Because we have districts with a council, and then there's districts with the Unified School District.
Exactly.
So, and those are not aligned, right?
Oh, no, different. Heavens no.
Okay, so what you're attempting to do is for that person that lives in, say, I'll pick any district 4, but mm-hmm. yet that doesn't match up with the district with the Kings County Unified.
Correct.
So trying to get a polling place for that person where?
Correct. Yeah, so what happens is the law states that we are not allowed to cross boundaries, major congressional and state and all of those, but obviously close ones in your community, so that if you live in District 2, you obviously can't vote for District 4. So that leaves us with different versions of the ballot in one city, because you're voting on different things. And the November even year elections are the time when all the little districts come out, the school districts and the special districts and the irrigation districts and all these other things. So when you overlay all those boundaries and then you look at like one house or one block, then you'll see how small the group is in order to vote on the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a question for our legal counsel, but mm-hmm. since you talked about districts, particular resident or ratepayer not voting for another candidate in a different district,
mm-hmm.
well, we kind of do that with the city. We have five different districts.
You vote at large? Oh, I'm sorry. So you vote at large. Okay.
We have five different districts, but then whatever district I'm, you know, that I live in, not only those people
correct
vote for me, but it's the community at large.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Yes, right. Even though you have districts, you vote at large. So everyone in your city will vote for this particular board, but school districts are by district, and other places are by district. So you still get the concept of having a lot of boundaries that overlap and then trying to weed out the geographic areas for a specific group of races.
So we're okay with that, I guess, what I'm asking.
It's legal. How about that?
No, the reason I'm asking that, it seems like a few months ago, I'm going to say maybe at the most 90 days ago, that Visalia had that challenge or that issue as far as voting in, you know, in districts.
Making sure I see. Right.
Because what was happening there is, like, I think if I got this right, the district was voting, the school district was voting the way they should be voting in mm-hmm. districts. Like, those people, you live in that area, those people vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
City wasn't. So they were challenged
mm-hmm.
with whatever lawsuit that's been up and down this state mm-hmm. because they started with Madera or what have you. So that's why I'm asking the question.
Right, and that
I
is...
I want to avoid that.
He's shaking his head. That is strictly his question there for you, and that's for your board to determine and to look at those kinds of issues. Our role is to execute the wishes of your council, and at the current moment, you vote at large.
All right. Okay. Any further question? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number two is presentation by American Legion, Alta Post 19, from Dine of Vietnam War Memorial Project for the fall of 2014. Mr. Castillo, I believe.
Excuse me. Good evening. My name is Romelia Castillo. It's nice meeting you. Anyway, thank you for letting us come this evening. And I'm not the only one that's going to be speaking. It's also going to be part of the committee. We work together as a committee. Anyway, we wanted to share the information of the Vietnam Veteran Wall that we're purchasing and place it in the Dinuba Memorial Hall, located in 249 South Alta in Dinuba. In 2010, we brought the Vietnam Traveling Wall to Cadre Rossi, and we placed it for 6 days at the Ledbetter Park. This year, we're purchasing it, and we're putting it at the Dinuba Memorial Hall. We're here this evening because I know there's veterans everywhere. I just saw outside how you had a list of veterans. The wall that we're bringing in is going to be the replica of the one in D.C. It holds 58,000 names, 383 engraved names. That's the one that we're going to be purchasing. We need $100,000. When you look at the price, $100,000 seems to be a lot, and that's why we're here this evening. This is not going to be Dinuba's wall. It's going to be everybody's wall. All the men and women from different communities and different states are in that wall. And this is a healing process for a lot of the communities. There are family members or friends or even people that went to Vietnam and came back. They have friends and loved ones. Their names are up there. So that's one way to have a healing. It is important. Do you know that on a yearly, there's 4.4 million visitors at Washington, D.C.? That means we're going to be the first veteran wall here in Dinuba permanently. It's not going to come and stay 6 days visiting. It's going to be permanently. So that means that all the communities by Dinuba will get a lot of people coming in. People have asked me from Fresno, why did you choose Dinuba? I said, Dinuba's a beautiful city. It's growing. We're going to have four lanes coming in from the 99. You'll get people from different areas, from Texas, Arizona, New Mexico coming in. Maybe go to Disneyland, Universals, and then stopping in on the 99 to Dinuba to see the memorial wall. Once they see the memorial wall, they'll be traveling to the Yosemites. Before they get there, they'll stop in Orange Cove, they'll stop in Reedley, Parlier, Sanger, Clovis. All these communities will benefit. Tourism will come here to the Central Valley. And that's why I'm here tonight, to ask you financial help. We got the endorsement from the city of Dinuba They donated $5,000. You know, I have an envelope here because this morning I said, when I go and speak to people and I said I need $100,000, it's a lot of money. But if we break it into smaller portions, this envelope, it's a dollar. I asked for, when I was outside, I met some wonderful people and they donated a dollar because a dollar didn't seem like a lot. They were able to reach in their pockets and put that dollar in the envelope. You know, with a dollar you could buy a soda, which is not good because it'll give you diabetes. But that dollar could go a long ways. Like I tell Dinuba, you know, you have the population in Dinuba is 23,000 people. If everybody gave a dollar, that'd be great. You know, and some people gave money and some didn't, but that's okay, they'll come around later. So that's why really I'm here today, because you're gonna be part of bringing that wall to Dinuba, and that'll be your wall. Because I know that every, how many of you know a veteran? Raise your hand. Who knows a veteran? Okay, we have veterans in the school district. I was in the school board member for 16 years. We had staff that had gone to Vietnam and back. I mean, we have dentists, doctors, our parents, uncles, aunts, even our children have been to war. So why not work together? One person or one organization, the American Legion, Alto Post 19, can't bring the wall by itself. We don't have the money. But all together we can. And that's why I'm here, City Council of Reedley, asking for your financial help and also helping the audience, asking the audience for that dollar. Thank you. And now my other committee members will be speaking. Thank you. Is there any questions first? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Frank Nunez, and I was born and raised in Reedley. And I had the privilege to go to Washington, D.C. to see the wall, the monument wall. That little wall that you have there, those individuals there, I grew up with them. I lived with them. I went to school with them. And I see Pete there, his brother's there. I know what it means to have lost a lost one there. I know what it means. It's been 46 years since I left Vietnam. That's 16,000 plus days. There hasn't been one day I have not thought in an incident there in Vietnam. It's important not only to the veterans, but to the community, and we really love your support. Thank you.
Good day to the City Council and everyone here present. My name is Joe Rivera. I graduated from Reedley High School in 1967. I was raised in Orange Grove. However, you know, at that point in time, we all came to Reedley High School. After graduating from high school, I joined the Marine Corps, and I spent 21 years active duty, so I retired from there. And a lot of those kids that Frank was just talking about, because Frank and I wrestled in the same wrestling team at that Reedley High School. And I went to school with them. Some I had them in wood shop, some I had them in auto mechanics. However, we were together. And the last time that I saw them was in class. I went to Vietnam. I got wounded a couple of times. But however, the Lord looked after me, and I'm back. But they're not. And to me, it's a healing process, and probably a lot of other veterans from this area are the same healing process, because you have, out of Reedley High School, there was 13 that were on that wall. Out of those 13, there's three from Orange Grove. And I didn't know a couple of them personally, but one of them, Bobby Nicholas, I did go to school with him. I know him since I was a kid. And we talked about what we're gonna do in the future. Apparently, his life was cut short, and he didn't get the opportunity to be here. But I'm here to speak for him, and I hope that some of you can see the wisdom in that, and that bring that wall here to bring peace to everyone. And besides that, as you have already was covered, economically it will help the city and the cities around this area. So I implore you to give us a hand financially so we can get this wall here, this area. Thank you.
Thank you for having us here. My name is Moses Ibarra, and I've been a Reedley resident for about the last 9 years. I'm an Army veteran. I served in Vietnam 1966 to 1967. And I'm here to talk a little bit about the Vietnam Wall and the people or the individuals on that wall. This is a unique memorial in a sense that every individual that died in country is listed or has their name inscribed in granite on that wall. And then soon to be added, and starting in Washington, D.C., they're going to have photographs or pictures of all these individuals. Now, together with the picture and a name, it's going to start to make the wall more humanized. All of a sudden, now we get to see that these individuals, like for me, there's two of them on the wall that were my friends. And for the rest of us, these are our relatives, your friends, and members of our community. So I kind of really, you know, support this a project because, and hopefully what we'll do is that we will never forget these individuals who gave everything that they had for us. And speaking of in reality, just a few of them. Approximately 2.6 million individuals served in the Vietnam conflict from 1959 to 1975, and that represents approximately 1% of our total population of the United States. So there wasn't very many individuals, and what we do is that we owe them, and we owe them for what we have currently, and you know, basically that's our freedom. Thank you.
My name is Al Gonzalez. Thank you for having us. I just wanted to add that it kind of said everything there is to say. I want to say that I've visited some rest homes where you have a lot of World War II and Korean soldiers and Vietnam soldiers that would like to come to the Inuba once it's there. I've talked to the supervisors. They'll go ahead and bus them over to the Inuba to see this wall. It's a healing process, like Moses says. And, you know, it's just a great idea that came about through Romelia. We are the only ones other than Texas that is doing this. No other state in United States is doing this. Texas and ourselves. I'm not sure where in Texas, but that's going to bring a lot of people from different states that are closer to us to see this wall. And I can just see many people coming to the Inuba to see this wall and also visiting places like Reedley, maybe move to Reedley, maybe visit the college. But thank you for having us, and I hope we can get a donation out of this. Thank you.
Any comment? Any comment from the public? Okay. Thank you very much for being here and bringing this to us. Moving on. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment?
Kenneth Zeck, 482 South Redwood Drive in Reedley, California. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, good evening. I am here this evening with other citizens asking that you join with us in working to save the Granger's Warehouse from demolition. There is no building in the city of Reedley that is more important to the story of Reedley's origins as a community than the Granger's Warehouse. That may sound like an exaggeration, but it isn't. Reedley was founded in 1888 as a farm town where the predominant crop was wheat. The Grangers Bank of California built the warehouse in 1892, just 4 years after the town's founding. Its purpose was to serve as a storage and shipping facility for wheat grain. The warehouse was built along the Southern Pacific Railroad tracks. In its construction, it used bricks that were manufactured right here in the city of Reedley. As grain fields gave way to orchards and vineyards, the warehouse assumed a new purpose. It was purchased in 1913 by the California Associated Raisin Company to serve as one of its very first processing and storage facilities. That company created a brand for its raisins. The brand was Sun-Made. In time, the brand became the company name. 100 years later, Sun-Made is a name that is known throughout the world. Old buildings can be rehabilitated and given a new purpose. You may have read recently in the Fresno Bee about Scott Vincent, a Fresno architect who directed the award-winning restoration project of the historic Helm House. Mr. Vincent was commissioned to study the feasibility of using the Granger's building for use as a public library. A couple of his illustrations are right here. The study's conclusion, it could be done. While the library option doesn't seem to have county support, the point is that preservation and repurposing of the building is possible. Each year, millions of Americans travel to Europe, Latin America, and Asia. They go to experience the culture and history of a foreign land. Well, what is our culture and our history? What is Reedley's story? Why did our forebears come here? Over a dozen distinct ethnic groups came to this community in the early decades of this town. Why did they do that? Those of us who know some of the answers to these questions believe that a community can have no progressive future without an understanding of the past. We don't live in the past, we want to learn from the past. And you can't do that when you obliterate the physical reminders of where we came from. Please join us in helping preserve the Granger's Warehouse. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tech.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Why is the Granger building important to our community? Because it is emblematic of the development of Reedley prior to incorporation as a city. To whom is this information important? Three entities: our children, visitors, and agricultural economists. They all pose the same question. Why did the town evolve in this location? The simple answer, wheat. Wheat is a staff of life needed in the mining areas in the gold rush times as well as now. The staff of life needed to the commercial suppliers of Stockton and Sacramento in those early years of our state. Only the wagon tracks between Stockton and Los Angeles and a ferry crossing defined our location in those years. There was no town. It was the wheat of planters such as T.L. Reed that attracted the commercial interests of the Southern Pacific Railroad. The elevation of two high bluffs east and west of the Kings River determined the grade and location of the tracks to what would later become Reedley. The rails crossed the Kings River in 1888, and in 1892, the Granger building was built to store and ship wheat. The Granger building, therefore, is our only surviving symbol of Reedley's earliest beginnings. Our children, visitors, and agricultural economists, and our future planners all need to know and value our past. Therefore, my message to the council and the Kings Canyon Unified School District Board is to implement any planning document that clearly questions any historic significance of a project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jewell.
My name is Pat Berkthold. I live at 417 South Reed in Reedley. And thank you for allowing us to come and share our feelings. I probably should substitute the word feelings for passion. A lot of people in Reedley have a passion for their history. And I want to mention that I did put a packet in, I brought to Sylvia Thursday a wonderful parade article that told about how to revitalize a town, and a lot of it is through historical buildings and working together as a team in your downtown. I love our downtown, and a lot of people come to shop here because it is charming. We have kept pretty much our whole downtown district intact since the 1902 fire, and that's very fortunate. So I have copies of this. If anybody did not see this parade article, it was in 2 weeks ago. We're so appreciative to the Fresno Bee, and instead of handing them out to you before, we brought with us, and just because I want to know, some people did get this in their Fresno Bee, the Central Valley, wonderful magazine, it's just wonderful. They featured a story that I was interviewed probably a year ago, and I just almost forgot about it. I just thought, well,
could you get back with the microphone?
I'm sorry, I'm a wanderer. but I wanted to tell you, I had a good friend that went to the Fresno Bee and said, so many people did not get the Central Valley. Could we have some copies to leave a few with this Chamber of Commerce and take to the meeting tonight? And so my friend picked up 30 of these. And so the story is wonderful. Pat Hunter did a marvelous picture of the Opera House. And most people think it's a photograph. No, it's her wonderful artwork. And she and Jan did a wonderful job. And we have 30 here. We want one per family. But if you don't have it, you'll want to keep this in your file because it's so well done. And Saturday morning.
Excuse me, Mrs. Berthold.
Thank you for holding that. That just shows what was on my porch Saturday morning at 5 o'clock. That's when the sun comes, not the sun, but it's a dawn where I can read. And so your new phone book was there. And what's on the new phone book? It's a wonderful picture of our downtown Reedley about the 20s. And all of you had it on your doorstep. And featuring our 20s facades with I sort of tried to date it by cars, and a wonderful picture of Dinuba with our wonderful snowpack that we hope comes back to us again. So thank you. If you don't have that or this, please ask for it. And my friend Jim, I've known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper Y camp.
You're going to have to wrap it
he
up.
He went to the Bee and got papers for you. A lot of people it should have this because thanks to Sarah that's here tonight, it says on the front page, how long has it been since Reedley has had a front page story? It says, Reedley residents organized to save the historic building. We have a paper for you too. So thank you.
Thank you.
That building can be saved and we want it saved. Thank you.
Okay. If we're going to continue, and this is going to be on the same subject, basically, your 10 minutes is in jeopardy right now.
Okay. My name is Paul Buxman. I live on Avenue 400, just outside of Reedley on the way into Kingsburg. I have a farm, I'm an artist. I've painted about 1,000 paintings in and around Reedley, and those paintings are of the beautiful agricultural lands that we have.
The reason that I love this area is because of its natural beauty, because of the small family farms, and because of the world's fruit basket, which the sign used to be in Reedley when we would drive here to go to church. I'm very interested in preserving the downtown and keeping this building for this reason. We have started something with the Opera House, with the Quilting Center, and I've opened a gallery there, the Kings River Art Gallery with Andrew Shin. The buildings that are brick and beautiful and being restored right now, they're all around this one area. If you restore this building, if it's possible, and if we don't get in a hurry to knock it down, I'm asking that if you could show some leadership in keeping the wrecking ball away from that, just seeing it as a huge open space where it could be a library, it could be so many things, part of a museum of ag, and I see it as a tourist destination. And it's a little bit like if we bring in the administrative offices away from campus and downtown, for me, it doesn't seem like a good mix. It's a little bit like bringing Reedley College administrative offices downtown. You know, it's on campus is a better idea, from my in my opinion. We've got beautiful brickwork here. I'd like to see it kept, and I'd like to see people who want to come to this theme, the fruit basket of the world. And if we can maintain that theme and build on that, I think it'll be a great gift to the future of this town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Okay.
I have like 1 minute.
Okay, I'll give you 1 minute, but that's the last item on this.
Just takes me a little while to get up. Thank you. My name is Kathy Omache. I live at 759 F Street. My father would have been 100 years old this last October. He and my grandfather and grandmother farmed the area from the Sangha River bottom and saw the changes that went on. One of the things that we do need to talk about that you've heard tonight is the passion that people have for the Granger Building. You've received information and you've heard the history. But let's get practical. You have a building that you could sell for $1 because it's part of the redevelopment, thank God it's gone, but projects. One of the things that you may want to take a look at is actually working with the community, getting a sense of what's the best and one of the best uses for that building. It may not be to tear it down, but it may be to encourage people to work in partnership to see what can be done with that building, to give this group a chance to raise a significant amount of money or pledges to see if they can defer the cost. But that's one thing that needs to be explored before building is handed over to one group and only one group without a bidding process on that one before the best use of the building. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, because there is this item going to be brought before the council?
Mayor, the city does not own this building. This building was a redevelopment agency asset. It's now in control of the state. So this city council will not ever have a vote on this item because we do not own it. So, and I've mentioned to Paul and Georgia that the state is the one who is in control of this process now. So there's an allusion, or somebody alluded to here, a bidding process. The city has no control whatsoever over this building. So no, this item will not be coming back for a vote before the city council. If individual council members would like to chat with the group, that's certainly your prerogative to do. But again, the city does not own this building and there is no city vote to be taken.
Okay. So can I ask for clarity? So whatever entity is, in this case, it's the Kings County Unified School District, and they're doing all their business directly with the state?
Yes, sir.
We're not in nowhere connected or?
No, sir.
Okay,
moving on. Notice the public. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature.
Excuse me.
Public comment.
Different matter.
I'm sorry.
I was interested in the Granger Building. I think it's a beautiful building. But anyway, I'm coming with two hats on tonight, one from the Reedley Downtown Association, and I will pass these because this looks a lot better than if I had photocopied. That's the ad and then an article about Taste of Town that's going to happen September the 18th in Reedley, and we hope all of you can come. There right now are about 30 vendors coming, anywhere from good fun hors d'oeuvre type items to being able to sip a little wine or beer. And we'd love to see all of you in downtown. The theme is a Cajun theme, so it's down on the bayou, and we're going to have crayfish on the table, which I want you to know that they're going to be used for that. Then they're going to a classroom, and they're going to have crayfish races, and then they're going back to the river. So they're not going to be cooked after that's over with. So we hope that all of you can make it. The prices for the tables are $225 for 8 people, or $30 a ticket, or if you just forget and show up that evening, we'll get you for more for $35. So we hope to see all of you there. Okay, the next one is I'm coming personally. If any of you have seen, we have had paper on one of our windows with caution signs, and we have just spent the last 2.5 weeks doing some more flipping the store than remodeling the store. And so we're having a party September the 4th, next Thursday night, from 5:30 to 8:30, and everyone here is invited to come and bring your friends, and we're just wanting to show off what we got done this summer. So while the rest of you were on vacation, we were working. So we want to show what we've done, and then we're all going on vacation. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Any further public comment? Okay, now moving on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda. In order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remaining consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Anyone like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
I'd like to remove number 7, please.
Number 7?
I'd like to remove number 8.
8. Any others?
Or approve the remainder?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item number 7 we'll take first. Adopt resolution number 2014-76, accepting the construction improvements for the Reedley City Streets Improvements Phase 5 of the CDBG project number 13571 and authorizing the city engineer to file a notice of completion with the county of Fresno.
Yeah, John Robertson with the city engineer. I'd answer any questions you might have.
Yes, that's the project between Early and Duff.
Yes.
Off of Button Willow.
Yes.
And it's really, really nice. It came out really nice, and I've seen the people walking on there, and it's nice to see them walking there instead of halfway in the middle of the road. Also, that light was a surprise, too. I didn't know we were going to have a street light on there,
yeah.
So it's really nice.
Good.
The only other thing, because when I had brought it up, was that on Early Avenue, the street was not wide enough there on the end for two cars to pass by there, right at the intersection.
Right.
And you had to wait for one car to go in, and the stop sign was put up, and I thought it was temporary, so I didn't say anything. And then I finally found out that that's, I guess, going to be permanent. And I'm wondering why they just didn't put it at the end of the sidewalk and widen the road the way I thought it should be, like an ordinary street where two cars could pass by. And when you stop there, you still have to come out quite a bit to see the traffic coming from the north, because there's a fence there, and if the stop sign had been moved a little bit farther, you wouldn't even have to come out that much, because you have a little bit more leeway and vision to see what's coming, you know, towards you. And that's always been, I thought, a problem, because I live down the street from there, and so having to wait and be able to watch the one car go by so that you can go back in. And I did ask about it, but if I got a response from telephone or whatever, I don't know if I did never got a response, and I was wondering, I did try to find out before this to see if there was, why that was done the way it was.
As far as placing the stop sign where it was at?
And not at the end of the sidewalk, where it curves.
Let me go ahead, because I actually did leave a voicemail for you, so I apologize that you did not get that. But the project itself didn't incorporate that particular street. We don't own that roadway segment yet. Those are still parcels that we don't own. And the CDBG project itself didn't cover acquiring the right-of-way and all of the construction. So what we're trying to do, because we do recognize that that street needs to be widened, it needs to be done. The parcel on that corner recently changed ownership. And so we're trying to acquire the property from the new owner in sort of a swap of service versus land. And we're trying to incorporate that street and see if we can incorporate that into some more street improvements that we're doing. So we definitely know that it needs to be done. It's definitely a priority for us. But right now, the CDBG project itself that we had didn't include the money to acquire that right-of-way and do that improvement.
So there's no way that the stop sign could be moved next to the sidewalk. We don't own the sidewalk?
Oh, you mean the actual, I'm sorry, I may have misunderstood the entire thing. Just the stop sign?
Well, the stop sign so it could be widened, because if the stop sign, you have the sidewalk, which curves right there, and then you have, what is it, like?
Well, when we widen.
The barrier.
When we widen and place asphalt on there, that stop sign will be moved.
So there is going to be asphalt and the stop sign moved.
That's what we're trying to, that is a priority for us, and we're trying to marry that up with another project so we can get good pricing on that project.
That's what I'm saying. So you can't, no way right now, even move the stop sign.
Right now we wouldn't want to move the stop sign. Because of regulations on signage, et cetera.
Moving the stop sign would kind of put it at a distance farther away from traffic is at that stop when they're stopped to go onto Button Willow. So that location is more visible. Pushing it back would only happen really when we widen that road, then we would put the stop sign in its ultimate location.
Okay. So you're just saying you're going to push it back and it can't?
We right now don't have the funds or the actual legal right of way to asphalt it and to widen the street. Mm-hmm.
But we own the sidewalk? Does the city own the sidewalk?
We own the sidewalk, uh-huh. Yes.
So how far back would the stop sign have to go from the sidewalk?
Normally the stop sign would be placed adjacent to the curb if it was a typical street widening. But because we have that half lane, I believe it's closer to where the lane is at, the existing roadway is at. By pushing it back further, I think it would take it farther away from where the drivers could view it, and it becomes a visibility issue. So when we do get the money, as the city manager explained, to widen that road, that stop sign will be pushed to its proper location, apparently, or design.
If that road, though, that Ms. Bencourt is alluding to, was a normal road, you know, widened just like any other avenue, then the stop sign would have been placed
in its ultimate
position differently,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But because of what
it's short right now at this time,
the city manager is pointing out that, you know, the legal aspect of that and the road's not, we haven't acquired that land, right, and so forth to do that. Then that's why it was done. I'm a concluding that it was done the best way. We work with what we had.
We put it in the most visible location at this time for the drivers.
I'll tell you what we could do, Ms. Bettencourt. You can arrange to have some free time this week, maybe John and I can go out and meet with you on the corner and actually walk that with you. And
yeah, I would like that because it's still, I mean, one of the things that was the concern was the visibility, and then there's a fence there, and having that the house is right there in the corner, so somebody parks there, it's really hard to to get through there, so.
Right, and that was also part of the voicemail. I apologize that you didn't get. We're looking right now as to whether or not we have the legal ability to red curb that, because it is a single street, to make sure that people aren't parking right there because it is a single lane road. But that's something that we have to actually follow some codes and regulations to see if we can paint the curb red, because believe it or not, we don't have the ability to just go paint curbs red, and Mr. Rodriguez is laughing at us over that.
Painting them red so we can have safety.
That would be, I don't know.
That's a temporary, though. It's a temporary solution.
Well, as long as the people that live there know that, because you're talking about their front, right there in their front yard.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why right now we need to measure out and do all of the legal widths, and I'm sure the public doesn't understand all the regulation that we have to adhere to when it comes to all of those things. I wish we could somehow get all that news out to the public in an easy to understand format. But in the meantime, what we can do is meet you out at the site sometime this week and walk the site with you. But please do understand, it is definitely a priority for us, both Early and Myrtle. And we're working with the property owners at Myrtle, as well as it was a little difficult because that property changed hands on Early and it was in the middle of escrow, but it is a priority for us. Yeah.
Any further comment? Any comment from the public? Not, do I have a motion on item number 7?
So moved.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item number 8, adopt resolution number 2014-78, approving a professional service agreement with David Tusig and Association Inc. for updating the city's AB 16 development impact fee study.
Kevin Fabino, Community Development. How can I help you?
Could you share just a little bit about what this is, what the reason for this development impact fee study is?
So the purpose, so as you all know, the city in 1993 initiated a AB 1600 development impact study. That study basically looked at a number of projects and then divided the cost against the new growth that was coming to the city. In 2005, basically, that was updated again. There's approximately 9 categories that are outlined in your staff report for things like streets, parks, signalization, water, wastewater. And really, the purpose of this fee is charged to new development as well as old development to support the growth of the, you know, when we have growth, to support the infrastructure, streets, that has really created a need for the city because of that development. So what we're really doing is we're going to go back and basically look at the projects that were in the 2005 list. We're going to compare those against our new general plan, where it shows growth going. We're going to look at our newly adopted by you, the integrated water, sewer, master plans. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is we'll kind of come up with a list of projects for really a horizon of 5 to 7 years, really 10's a little too far out, but it's really about 5 to 7 years, and then look at what those costs are, divide those out in theory across what would be new development projects coming to the city and what we anticipate. The other part to this, and I know the council is always very concerned, but in the RFP and what we believe was an excellent presentation by the company we're recommending, is an analysis of how we stack up against the other communities. We always know this is one of the few times, if you don't mind me saying, you always want to be behind the Joneses, because we're always in fear of losing development, you know, because our fees are allegedly too high, when really we're just trying to recover the cost and impacts that are created by new development. But that being said, that's generally the process. We'll look at projects, we'll have a project list, we'll kind of compare where we're at to other cities and what we know, and then hopefully probably by the end of the year, maybe first of next year, we'll have a new development impact fee in place that will, at least I should say, we'll be presenting to you to be put in place.
Okay.
Anything else, Mary?
It's just my concern that we don't raise fees, that a new developer comes in and says, well, I'm going to go to another city because their fees are a lot less than ours. And that's one of my concerns when I was reading this document. So thank you for kind of giving us a quick overview.
We have no preconceived notions as to the level of fees. It's purely going to be looking at project-based and how that those direct infrastructure costs are attached to, to those that potential growth pattern. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it will be the council's decision as to whatever level of impact fees you feel comfortable with.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any further comment? Any comment for public? Do I have a
question?
Sure.
Kevin, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
In the concern of Councilman Fast here, Councilmember Fast, of the impact fees, is it possible to get a comparison of what other cities are doing as far as impact fees? And, you know, to kind of look at what we're doing and what they're doing.
That
for her concern that we don't want to lose any kind of business that want to come in because of impact fees.
Yeah, and part of the RFP explicitly states that analysis to be done, and it identifies the cities. And so that we knew you were going to want to see anyway. Basically, what will end up happening is you're going to decide what level you want. Right. And it will be project-based. So if it's too high, then we're going to have to figure out what projects we're going to drop off or are not a priority or whatever the case may be. So that, you know, as you wish to decrease those fees, those are projects we're just going to push to out years, if you will. So there's a real scientific way we'll go about this. And we'll present those findings to the council. We'll present the project list to the council and move forward through a very diligent, analytical process that will be legally defensible at the end of the day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else, Ray?
No, that's it.
Anybody else? Any further comment? Okay. Do I have a motion on item number 8?
I'll so move.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item number 9, I believe, is just receive and file. It's a report from Reedy's River City Theater Company. And moving on to item number 10 will be council reports. And I think tonight we'll start with Mr. Rodriguez.
Two things. Just had the opportunity to attend the League of Cities. The mayor was also there and Councilwoman Fast. A couple of things that were on the floor and that captivated my interest was the implementation on the cap and trade, you know, and the entitlement, you know, as far as in respect to the cities. There was some solid information on that and some good questions from the audience. The other thing, they gave us a handout on the significance or the importance of having a city representative at the Valley Air District Special City Selection Committee meeting September 30th. So I don't know where we're on that, but they really amplified that. They want. The way I understood it, maybe I'm wrong, you were there too, Councilwoman Fast and Mayor. I don't know if it's, one of the council members or staff.
You're talking about the air pollution?
I'm not clear on that. And the Valley Air District.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't, unless
I'm
you
on
were,
that.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Then you need to be there because they,
no, I'm there.
They,
yeah, we
you know, they
we
said
vote.
That yes, they I wanted, know. They wanted, they uh-huh. wanted you to have a voice
uh-huh.
and for you to represent your city. So, and then the other thing is that, again, along with Mayor Beck, we had the opportunity to attend the ribbon cutting for the Baskin and Robbins 31 flavors or what have you. They had a real good program. I thought the guy was pretty shrewd as far, you know, involving the cheerleader for the football program, or Pop Warner or whatever. They had the cheerleaders there. They had good turnout of the community. And of course, that I think Chamber of Commerce had a representative there. She's also from what, Adventist Health?
Yes, Susan.
Susan Chapman. And but it was a nice program, and what's good, I thought, you know, just the owners that have that, they're so humble, and they're so receptive, you know, to like not only working with our community, but it seems like it's a joy for them, you know, what they're doing for the clients and for the kids and all that. So it was a very nice program. And it's my hope that as other folks select Reedley to bring, you know, have their business established here, that they have similar events. Because I think once you do that, you open up your doors and people, I think it was mentioned tonight, but people start putting, you know, that face with who really owns that business and how they complement our business district, you know, from one side of the community to the other. But I really enjoyed, you know, it wasn't a long thing, but it was good for the kids. They had a bounce house and some other stuff, but I think if he would have had more room in that parking lot, it probably would have been big, probably would have bought a circus to town. But it was nice. And that's all I have, sir.
Nita?
Nothing.
Frank?
No, I have nothing.
I don't have anything. Thank you.
I know that it's a little bit late, but I attended the ribbon cutting at the new swimming pool. That's such a great facility. School did a great job, and it was got to see a race by a former Olympian. Always there, and it was a good time. And I know that I think all of us were there. I think all of us were at that opening. Also, along with Sylvia Plata and Pete Perez, we all were at Ted Tartaglia's services, and we paid our respects for the city, and it's going to be missed. Ted was he'd been on that commission a long time, so he's he worked right there until his final days. He was devoted to the commission. So also, like Councilman Rodriguez said, it cost me a pretty penny at Baskin Robbins that day for the ribbon cutting. I think I paid for those girls out there. That was because the girls were. I had my granddaughters there and didn't get by easy. I'll tell you. but I want to tell you, I ran across a gentleman there that was a contractor on that job, and he wanted to send his regards. He was nothing but ecstatic the way he was treated by the city. And Kevin, you in the building department, he held me for 45 minutes and talked about, he says, anything he needed, anything he wanted, you guys were right there. So that is telling us that we're doing it right when we got business coming into the community. And he was there with that opening, and he was just, I mean, he was beside himself. I'd never seen anybody say, he says, they even asked me, please, if they could do something or would I make a change. He says, I've never had a building official say, please. So nice. I thought it was kind of a great deal. Also attended the League of City dinners with Council Member Fast and Rodriguez. And they had the program that they presented was to do with cap and trade, and it's to do with the carbon credits, what's going to happen. And it's really bleak because I just read in the paper recently that it's getting batted around pretty, it's almost dead, I guess, up at Sacramento, and we're probably going to see a major increase in the fuel costs. So that's kind of sad, but that was... The concern is the money that's going to come out of this is actually not going to be for your major transportation, and that's the sad part. So other than that, I have nothing else, City Manager.
Well, my first announcement is that AB 69 died today. So
It got batted around so much that it died. So it will not be heard. And that's a shame that we're in a political system where we can't even bring the argument to the floor to be voted upon. But so do expect that increase in January. As far as the national increase for gas tax, that one we've not heard hide nor hair of yet. So I don't know when that's going to occur, but that one is not going to occur in January. We know for sure. So the first step is January. I think, unfortunately, that is going to hit our lower income residents the hardest. And so, you know, we're going to be thinking about what we can do to help get word out. And Mr. Plata with Assemblymember Perea's office is all over this one. So we'll continue to work with him so that our community isn't hit quite so hard. But it'll be tough. At our next council meeting, Tree Fresno will be here to talk about a pilot program that they'd like to implement in the city of Reedley. And they'll be here with a couple of their board members. One of their board members is Ken Enns with Palm Village, and so they'll be here to talk about this pilot. We won't be asking council to vote on anything at the meeting, just sort of absorb what the pilot is about, and then we'll bring it back at an even later date to vote upon whether or not we want to do that. So that's pretty exciting because of all the communities around, they've chosen us to want to do this community landscapes plan pilot program. And then just a reminder to our community that Monday is a holiday, Labor Day, and so the City Hall offices will be closed, and we'll post the notices as we always do that will be closed that day. So.
Anything else?
Anything else?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Since we're getting done early, I'll start my 1 hour presentation now. No. As promised from last.
5 minutes.
Yes, sir. As promised at last council meeting, I did bring some of the flyers that we are going to be having for our Neighborhood Watch recruitment drive. It is scheduled for September 4th. So if you can pass those out, please. It is scheduled for September 4th, next Thursday, and it is between 5:30 and 7:30. It is not a two-hour presentation. It's just a drop-by, pick up information, and you can go on your way. So please encourage the residents in your neighborhood. You each have 10 flyers. And they are both in English and in Spanish. So if you flip it on the backside, it is in Spanish as well. So so you can give it to your constituents, English speaking or Spanish speaking. We do encourage you to, again, to reach out to the Spanish speaking community, because that's the one segment of our community that we are really targeting to help us and join some neighborhood watch groups. You'll also notice that there are several locations. Several locations in each district. We will have representatives from the police department at each of these locations. So if residents have any specific questions, there's going to be a police officer at one of these locations that they can help address you know, any concerns that they may have. And we are also reaching out to our neighborhood watch block captains, our current block captains, to be at these sites as well. So if someone just isn't really sure what they need to do, there's going to be, I'll call them our veteran, neighborhood watch block captains at these locations as well to help encourage our folks. Because again, neighborhood watch is just, it's not the police department's program or program, it's this community's program. We are part of the overall safety for this community, but it's very dependent. This program is very dependent on our community to come forward and be part of it. So again, I encourage you to spread the word to your constituents, and we will be also spreading the word to other means, media, or through our webpage, website, social media, and also through the exponent. Jody came and spoke with us last week, so hopefully there will be an article this week in the paper. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. I believe that's all, Mayor.
That's it. We have two closed session items, a government code section 54956.8 and government code section 54956.92. One is conference with real property negotiations. The other one is conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation. Is there any public comment? Not, we're going to go into closed session.
Copy of this article.
Sure.
I think it's a really beautiful article.